to worship here this morning. My name is Ben Heide. I am your worship leader here this morning. As we read scripture and as we worship in song, and later have a message from George and Tabia Veith, who our congregation has supported for a number of years as they ministered in mainland China. They are going to share their message as their work and Christ's work has they've been involved with. So thank you for joining us, and I know that Christ will be proclaimed here this morning. And may we each learn and discover and build community as we do so. I'm going to read the land acknowledgement as printed in the bulletin if you want to follow along. It's on the back page, or just listen if you'd rather. We acknowledge our presence on the land of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Métis nations. We recognize that we are guests on this land and will be mindful of our impact as we critically look at colonial history and present-day implications. We acknowledge that this is a first step in fulfilling our responsibility and our commitment.
Good morning. We are so happy to be here with you. We drove in this morning from Winnipeg, but before that, in September, we took a long trip from China all the way back to Canada. Toby, you want to say a little bit about our trip?
Well, our longest flight was 16 hours, and that's like from 6 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, okay?
Okay. We're just going to show you a photo of what it looks like. And this actually was on the plane, I think. You could see on the little screen by your seat where the plane...
The blue line is if we would go from Harbin all the way to Winnipeg straight. But we did a trip by car all the way down to Macau. And then we had to take a plane to Singapore and another plane to LA and then to Vancouver and then to Winnipeg. So the longest trip was 16 hours long, and that's a really long time. But I kind of like it because there's movies to watch, and they give you pillows and blankets, and on Singapore Airlines, it's really good food, and they're very clean, and it was great.
But I don't really like it.
You don't like it?
No, because you have to sit like this in your seat on the plane, and there's not much room to move around, and
Yeah, but you like to watch the map in real time, though, right?
I guess so.
Oh, maybe not for 16 hours, huh? Well, so, wait a minute. We went left where? Harbin? It's way up north. And this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The next one. I think you have to set it down. There we go.
Okay,
so if you look at China, it looks a little bit like a chicken. Harbin is kind of like the eye of the chicken. And you know what? It's winter there. It's as cold there as it is now, and there's lots of snow, as you can see, snow on our campus, and that's a bit of a shot of the city. So we lived there for 6 years, and last summer, we made that long trip back to Canada. It took us about 2 months. But we traveled with our suitcases and some of our clothes and the things that we need.
Mm-hmm.
But what is something special that you brought back, George?
Well, let me show you. I'll just undo this. I don't know if people can see that. Can we just... Now, some famous painter in China painted this. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Now, can you guess who that is a painting of? Who do you think? That's right, Jesus the Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Chinese way that they like to do paintings is they put them on something like this called a scroll, a Chinese scroll.
So this is how a Chinese artist imagined that Jesus would look like.
Yeah.
A little different than maybe some of the paintings or pictures you've seen.
What about you? What did you bring?
Well, I brought back a tea set. And it's from a special friend of ours. You can see that it's not... Maybe kids can use it. It's very small, but people of all ages use it with a little tiny little cups like this. And they sit around and drink many, 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 many cups and visit with each other. And you know what? We have about, our friends gave us lots of sets of these. So if you have a chance and you're in Winnipeg and we're past this COVID, you come for tea and we'll give you some.
You know, we couldn't bring everything back. So what do you miss about China?
Well, there's some things we couldn't take along. And one thing what I really missed is my university students from China. We did fun things together.
Just so we could, we'll show you a photo of.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, wrong way. Sorry.
Next one.
I know. sorry. Wait, hold on.
I think if you set it down, it works better.
Oh, boy. The roller doesn't seem to work on this mouse. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so my students at university were a lot of fun. I tried to make my classes fun and interesting for them. And we got to know each other well. And some of them would come to talk to me in my office. And next one. Here's end of the year. I'd take a photo with them. It was a lot of fun. In my office, I had two flags on my windowsill. And especially since end of 2018, I had these two flags there. And I was to remind me to pray for our countries and to work for peace. So we learned that when we share life together with people from another country, we are building peace. And that's a great way to follow Jesus. Mm. What about you? What do you miss?
I really miss our Chinese brothers and sisters in the church. We had many chances to go out and have great food and just sit around the table and talk. And it's really special to be able to be together with the brothers and sisters and to just build community to experience what God's family is like. So that was really special.
So when we share life with God's family in other countries, we learn together what it means to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And perhaps you don't know a lot of people from different countries, but more and more here in Canada, we're getting more people from other countries. And it's a chance to share life together. Mm-hmm. We're going to miss our friends there. Mm-hmm. Next one. Small and great.
Yeah.
So this is from a retreat where we got together with a bunch of Christian families there. So I hope you can listen to the rest of it. We're going to hear about more stories.
Yeah, more stories. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so happy to be here with you this morning. We have good memories of being here last time. And first of all, we want to bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in China and also from the Mennonite churches in Hong Kong and Macau. 30 years, I don't know, we wonder where is 30 years gone? And we want to thank many of you for your prayers and encouragement. We spoke in Saskatoon last weekend and a man came up to me and said, I prayed for you every day for 30 years. Can you imagine? I was just blown away by that. And so we feel like the bit that we've done in working and ministering in China and Hong Kong, Macau, is really a combined effort. You hold our hands and we hold your hands and we do this together. So your prayers have helped bring about a lot of fruit, and we're just grateful. Hopefully what we share this morning will be an encouragement to you to keep praying and to see what your prayers have done amongst the Chinese people. If you were to ask my family, what is your dad like? What is George like? They would probably say, he's very curious. I often tell my kids, life is interesting if you're curious. And Toby especially sometimes has said, I'm like this guy. Maybe some of you are familiar with these children's, with these children's books.
Maybe not quite as naughty, huh?
Yeah. And so the message this morning is from Isaiah chapter 43, and it's really an invitation to be curious. God is saying, come and see, take a look at what I'm doing. I'm doing something new.
Yeah, we heard these words, come and see, about 8 years ago, when we were 2 years from almost finishing our time in Macau. And our Mennonite Partners in China colleague, co-worker, Pastor Y, extended an invitation for us to come and see what life is like in China. Come and live with us, he said. Come see how we live and how people communicate and how God is already at work here. Go beyond the stereotypes and the news and really see what it's like. Pastor Y, by the way, is also Mennonite. After graduating from a seminary in China, he pastored a church in Beijing for 8 years. And during that time, he got to know a Mennonite couple who was teaching English there, who had gone there with Mennonite Partners in China. Well, through that relationship, he became really interested in the Anabaptist faith. And then he went to AMBS, Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart. Mm-hmm. You probably know that seminary. And during that time there, he got to know a number of different classmates from all over the world and Canada and the U.S. and graduated from there with an MDiv. When he went back to China, he then worked with Mennonite Partners in China. And when people say, you know, he said, yeah, I'm a Mennonite pastor. So when he invited us to go, we prayed about it and sensed a call to go. And Mennonite Church Canada Witness then sent us, reassigned us to China. And 6 years ago, we went to China. And we went to Harbin, which we mentioned a little earlier, is way far north. It's 1,000 kilometers north of Beijing. It's north of North Korea and south of Russia. So it's nestled in there in a whole different world. And that's where we went to live because there was an invitation from Pastor Wise, one of the other pastors in his network of friends.
And so I guess you could say Mennonite Church Canada, its mission arm is called Witness. And so if you look at the word witness, we think of traditionally as going to witness our faith, going to witness to another place, to other people, and share about what Jesus has done for us. But witness, in a way, also has the other meaning that we go to a new place and we witness what God is already doing in that place, and then we come back and we share that with the people that we were sent from, the people that, I guess, are our home people or whatever you would say. And so witness can have both those meanings. And so this morning we want to share a little bit about what we've witnessed God at work, because in a sense God is always everywhere at work, even before you go there. And so we want to share with you some of the things that we've witnessed that God is already at work, and some, I guess you could say new things, because especially verse 19, God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? At the slides to make sure we're in the right one. God also said to the Israelites as they were traveling through the wilderness that you are my witnesses. God delivered them out of Egypt and led them through the desert. And so, in a sense, they were witnesses to the miracles that God did, to the things that he provided, the manna and the quail and all of those things, parting the Red Sea. And so the Israelites were on this journey through the wilderness, and it was difficult. And you can almost say that the Chinese church is also on a journey in kind of a wilderness, and it's also been difficult for them. For the Chinese, being a Christian in the culture, you're a minority, only 1 or 2 or 3%. If you want to go somewhere to worship, I think we went the wrong way here. There. If we want to worship somewhere, for example, there in Harbin, which is a city of about 10 million, there are only 3 or 4 legal places where Christians can meet. This is a city of 10 million. And so there are basically two kinds of churches in China. There's the registered, the legal church, which are these ones here, these buildings you see. And then there are the underground churches that maybe you've heard of in China. Those are technically not legal in China. So in a city of 10 million, as I said, there are very few places where Christians can meet. And so while we were in China, we attended one of the churches, actually the one on the top left. And there were many services on a Sunday morning. About 10,000 people would come through on a weekend, 10,000 Christians, many different times of services on a Sunday morning. If you're a Christian in China, it's also difficult because, for example, if you're asked in a job interview to fill out the form, they will probably ask you, do you have a religion? What's your faith? If you say you're a Christian, you will be investigated. You will probably be considered to be unpatriotic. And if you get the job, they'll probably watch you very closely to keep an eye on you to see what you'll be doing. And in spite of this, in spite of these difficulties, in spite of these... Sorry, I'm going too fast here. It's not working too well here with the... Okay. Oh, there we go. In spite of the difficulties that Christians have, there's a tremendous sense of joy on the part of the Christians. So this, for example, would be a Sunday morning worship. This crowd, the choir sings for every service on a Sunday morning. They sing four-part harmony. And there's a real sense of this contagious joy in the service, in spite of all the difficulties mm-hmm. that they face as Christians.
And also, just like the children of Israel, when they were in their wilderness, they could see that God was present with them by seeing the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Those are the visible reminders to them that God was with them.
Sorry, I'm jumping around
and
here.
And so in Chinese churches, this is the right one. Okay. Chinese churches, at the front, they often have these four characters, Emmanuel, Imaneli. And they use the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, all the time, not just at Advent or Christmas. So when they greet each other, they say, Imaneli. And then they say, talk to with you. You say goodbye. And then they say, Imaneli. Or even on WeChat, you know, send a text message, please pray for my mom. And they'll text back and say, yes, I'm praying for your mom. Imaneli, God is with you. And they live it. It's part of their everyday life.
Real comfort.
To greet each other with the words Emmanuel.
Sorry, it's not working well here. God reminds the Israelites that they shouldn't dwell on the past. They should see the new thing that God's doing. And so we can honestly say that by living in China, we have seen God do a new thing. God is doing something new, especially with Mennonite ministry in China. Pastor Y, who, as Toby mentioned, was is a very committed Anabaptist and went to the Anabaptist Seminary. And many years ago, he would travel around China and share about his Anabaptist faith with his former seminary colleagues. And these guys are all now pastors of churches in China of different, there are no denominations in China, but just registered church leaders in churches. And so he would share, but they weren't really interested in what he had to say. He was really excited about being an Anabaptist. But in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years, Pastor Y has had a chance to connect with house church, with underground church pastors, and they're really, really excited about what he has to say. He's talked about things like community and discipleship and peace, and these pastors have been saying, this is great stuff. How can we learn more? Where have the Mennonites been all these years? And so there's a real sense of excitement on the part of these pastors.
And Pastor Y has said to us that the Anabaptist faith is a very good fit for the Chinese culture. When we first heard that, we thought, okay, let's tell us more. He said when he says we, because he's Mennonite too, we Mennonites have a faith that has a 500-year tradition. And that kind of long history is important to Chinese people. They also said, he says, you Mennonites, we Mennonites understand suffering. It's part of our history. In the beginning, many Anabaptists were martyred for their faith, like Dirk Willems in this drawing. He was being pursued by his persecutor who fell through the ice on the frozen river. Dirk stopped, remembered Jesus' words to love your enemies, and so turned back to pull the man to safety. However, the persecutor ended up putting Dirk in prison anyway, and simply because he was an Anabaptist, and a few days later, he was burned at the stake. And this story catches the imagination of our Christian brothers and sisters in China. Pastor Wise also said that we Mennonites have churches, the Anabaptist faith is all over the world. For Chinese, this is important because it shows that this faith is not just embraced by Western cultures, but by Africans, Latins, Latin Americans, and Middle Eastern cultures. And Pastor Wise also been explaining that we often think of the Anabaptist faith in three major points. First, that Jesus is the center of our faith.
Mm-hmm. And discipleship and community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. Jesus being the center of our faith means that we confess Jesus as Lord, and we share the message of Jesus' love. And that's something that Chinese respect, that if you believe something, you're willing to stand for it. You're willing to talk about it with others. The idea of discipleship, about following Jesus. The Chinese will often say, don't listen to what the leader says, watch what the leader does. So your words and your actions, they have to match up. And so following Jesus, discipleship, is not just about thinking about and talking about Jesus, it's also acting the way Jesus would act. Community is the center of our faith.
Our work.
The center of our life. There we go. We live out our faith as a family, as a community, and we support each other. The wrong way. Okay, there we go. So we support each other, and for Chinese, it's all about family. The cornerstone of Chinese culture is family, and family, they stick up for each other, they support each other, they encourage each other. And so when we talk about community that way, they really understand.
And third, reconciliation is the center of our work. The gospel message is about being reconciled to God and also being reconciled with others through Jesus. Being reconciled to God through Jesus and also reconciled with others. If there's a conflict with someone else, again, it's about relationships. Harmony is so important to Chinese people. That's relationships and harmony is the goal and how Chinese culture operates. So Pastor Wise said, as Anabaptists, we talk about peace. All Chinese people, he said, believe that religious people should be peaceful people.
There we go.
They don't understand how, if Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, Christians are going to other countries to wage war. But you know, what's been even more interesting is that two of these young pastors that are very excited and interested, when they met us, both of them told me this story. They said, you know, they've been attracted to the Anabaptist faith, not because of a book or a seminar or whatever, but because they've come to know an Anabaptist. They said, Pastor Y, they saw Pastor Y was in a conflict with someone else, with another Christian brother. And as they watched how the conflict was a disagreement.
Hold on, I just can't get there. Why don't you do that? This is very frustrating. Thank you. Go ahead. I'll give you the cue. Thanks.
So Pastor Y was had a disagreement with another Christian brother. And these two other young pastors were watching this. And they noticed over the course of the development of all of this process that the Christian brother was bad-mouthing Pastor Y behind his back. But Pastor Y did not say an ill word about this other guy. He remained calm, and he was committed to trying to discuss and work out the disagreement. And they said to me, after they saw this, they knew who they wanted to follow, who they wanted to learn from, who they wanted to be their mentor. And so Pastor Y has become a mentor to this group of, he's about our age, and he's become a mentor to this group of young pastors that are kind of spread out all over China. And he's traveling around to visit them now, and he's kind of like a modern-day Paul.
Next slide. One of the pastors, these house church pastors, underground pastors, is so excited. He said, I want my church to become a Mennonite church, and I want my church to join Mennonite World Conference. The church meets, this is a restaurant, the second floor of the restaurant. They meet Sunday mornings. One of the brothers in the church owns the restaurant and has said, okay, you can use it on Sunday morning. And so they meet every Sunday morning. You can see they're sitting around the tables where they eat in the restaurant, and that's church for them. Another pastor has asked, has been so excited that he's actually trained as a lawyer, but he has had a call to ministry, and he's so excited that he wants to translate more materials from English into Chinese. And so these are some of the things that that they're working on. There's many other things they have already translated, several commentaries, some other books. This is John Roth's trilogy of books. And the one thing they've also asked is that I write a basic leadership training curriculum so that they can train leaders in the churches. And so the last while we were in China, Toby was teaching English at the university, and I was busy writing this, and I hope to finish this soon.
He retired in China at 60.
Yeah. The next one. There's also some informal networks of these pastors that is happening in China. The thing on the white thing on the left is actually on your phone, and they in China have something similar to Facebook. It's called WeChat, and so they've started a WeChat group, and I've circled their space, and it actually says China Mennonite. And so every week, maybe once or twice, they will post something, like, for example, that posting there. And, for example, this says Anabaptism is not a new faith. Because in China, there are many cults, many different things coming into the church. And if people haven't heard of something, they may say, oh, this is weird. We don't know what this is. It's probably a cult. So they want to get the news out to other church leaders and places in China that this is really something tried and true. It's a stable faith. And as we mentioned, it's a very good fit for the Chinese culture. And so they're regularly posting things like this for others to know about.
And this network is not only online. During our travels that I talked about through China last summer, Pastor Y drove his car up to Harbin, picked us up, and we traveled through China on the road. I wish I could show you all those. There's not time to show you. It was absolutely amazing. The roads are amazing. There's green everywhere. We saw a lot of beautiful sights, and we met a lot of beautiful brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of those places, we had a retreat with these pastors that we're talking about, Pastor Y and these young pastors. And they brought their wives and their spouses, because some of the colleagues and coworkers are women as well. So families were there, kids were there. It was the first time that this group had done a retreat together. They hadn't experienced a retreat before. So it's kind of like family camp atmosphere. And we talked together about what might an Anabaptist church look like in China. What does it mean to be an Anabaptist Christian in China? And so even before that time, we'd already been meeting with this group online. We were attending. We were not leading the group. We were meeting online with them, then got to meet them, and we still have been meeting online with them every week. They've invited us to come. We don't say much, but they want us to witness God amongst them. What is God at work, and how we can pray for them? And also they'll say, hey, can you find an article about this, or we're interested in that. And so it's been a really rich experience for us as well.
There are we just got news several weeks ago that there's another little network, 10 pastors in another place in China that are talking about Anabaptism and stuff. And so there's these little networks forming all across China, people discussing about Anabaptism. And so it's really an exciting time to be in China, because God is really doing something new. And we've been able to come and see, and we want to, like I said, share that with you. Let's go to the next slide. God is saying to the Israelites that he's going to make a way in the wilderness. He's going to make a way for them. Now, if you think about being in the wilderness, it's hot in the daytime, it's cold at night, there are wild animals, scorpions, a lot of rocks, and so it's a really difficult journey. And we have to say that the church in China is also on a difficult journey. And we'll give you some examples of that. Now, if you are in China, you'll see this sign, which recently has been posted. It's been the law on the books for a long time, but just recently they've enforced it. If you go to a legal, a registered church building, you'll see this sign. And this sign means anyone under the age of 18 is not allowed into the church building. So no children in church. And so the church says, well, God will make a way in the wilderness for us, so we will find other ways to connect with children. Another restriction, about 2 or 3 years ago, the government said Bibles are no longer available for sale online or in a Christian bookstore. The only place now you can buy a Bible in China is in a bookstore that's located inside a registered church building. And because there are cameras everywhere in China, including outside the church and inside the church, you're not going to have a non-Christian person come to a place because they'll see, you know. So the church says, well, if we can't get them a Bible in hard copy, maybe we'll put it on a USB stick and give them a digital Bible. The third restriction we're thinking of is China has now said that all companies that manufacture photocopiers and all photocopying shops that do photocopying must install a computer chip in the photocopy machine, and this computer chip will recognize any religious material that's being copied. It'll flag it. And so if we catch you copying Christian material, we're going to fine you and shut you down. And so the church says, well, if we can't copy stuff, again, we'll give it to them digitally. And so they're really trusting God in his promises that God is going to make a way in their wilderness. God's Holy Spirit is going to lead them. And so it's interesting because the church is not bitter. They're hopeful because they know God is at work.
Verse 20 also says that God will make streams in the desert. So God will not only make a way, but God will also provide for the needs of his people, of God's people. So the wilderness is hot and dry place. And I still remember a number of years ago, we went to the cactus display. So it's hot and dry in there, right? The Peace Garden. So what does that mean in China? It feels like in China sometimes that the streams are drying up because the government has now forbid any Christian material that's printed in Chinese or English or any other language to come across the border. Whereas before, books from those places were allowed.
Like Taiwan, Hong Kong,
Macau, even North America were printing Chinese materials and they could come in. But now not at all. So there are we are working with our brothers and sisters in China for ways to get materials to them. And that's a matter of prayer as well. And that's also perhaps one of the reasons why they've asked George to write. The materials that George is writing are for lay leaders to equip local leaders to be able to just take it and just teach it themselves. So it's meant to be more practical that way.
Yeah, so there are restrictions, but the church is hopeful because God is always going to provide. God is the one who has the last word, not the authorities. Okay, let's go to the next slide. God continues to remind and tell his people that he hasn't just created them and hasn't just been leading them through the wilderness. He's also forming them in the process. Kind of like the potter and the clay. God is forming them. And it's interesting to talk to some of the church leaders in China, and they're saying, you know, maybe God is forming us in this process. Maybe God has a reason. Maybe God wants us to listen more closely to his voice. Maybe God wants us to equip our people in a different way to respond to the new reality. And so again, the people are trusting God because God knows what he's doing. God sees the reality.
And God has been using the example of the Chinese church in forming us as well. God's word and God's people to form us, to trust God more. We've had to trust him in the past, but being in China over these last 2 years, during COVID and during the Michaels and traveling back, there's been many challenges, but God has helped us as we've chosen to trust. And now we need to trust God for our own future, what's coming next. So I was just thinking this morning, you guys are your church is our last official church to be speaking at the end of 30 years. And we've shared this passage and these words many times over the last months. And I wonder if it's because God is forming us and wanting to get through our thick hearts to let us know that God is still in control and that God is forming us and God is leading us. Many times we felt that we were on eagle's wings. One time when we were entering into Macau, we crossed over the border from China to Macau in an evening, and the next day the border was restricted. We felt like we were led on eagle's wings, but I told our kids, you know, even if we had gotten caught and had to go through a bunch of hassle to get across the border, even then God would be with us. That is what we've been learning from our Chinese brothers and sisters.
And so I guess the questions for us, and for all of us, is what hardships are you facing? And how do you see God providing for you in those hardships? And how do you see God forming you and shaping you and molding you in the way that he wants? Finally, these verses, it's very interesting. What is the purpose? What's the reason why God is taking them through this? What is the eventual, what's the end outcome? And he says in verse 21, that they may proclaim my praise. That's what God wants for all of us, is that in spite of the things that we go through, God wants us to be molded and shaped so that in the end we praise him. And you know, that's one thing that we've been have had this lasting impression of our brothers and sisters in China, is how they love to praise God. The next slide will show you a picture. This is at a Christmas program. Usually in the bigger programs during the course of the year, Easter, Thanksgiving, they'll have the worship service, and then they'll have a program afterwards. And they have like praise and dance groups and all kinds of, and this is a picture of Chinese, them dancing to praise music and dancing in the worship service. And we've just really been moved by how they have a heart for praise. One of the favorite songs that they like to sing, and one of the lines in the song says, "The greatest treasure is to know Jesus." Now, it's very interesting because for Chinese, especially Chinese New Year is coming up in 2 days, and you'll see them have all kinds of red, maybe even in the restaurant, Chinese restaurant here, you may see them put up red banners and things. And for Chinese, the word treasure is so important because it means prosperity and wealth and money. And so when you use that word treasure, it really resonates with Chinese people. And then to hear someone say, a Chinese person say, "The greatest treasure is to know Jesus." And so we have this lasting impression how God has formed Toby and I also by being in China, is to see how our brothers and sisters really want to know Jesus better and to understand his word better. Those lasting impressions.
So we want to thank you for your patience in listening to, we feel, I can sense that we feel comfortable with you, and that's meant that we've started to tell extra stories, so thank you for your patience with that. But what we want to leave you with is that our hope is that may this be how God is forming all of us, to love God more and to know God better through God's word, as we seek to follow Jesus in these complicated times. These really are complicated times. And our brothers and sisters in China have
in a way, they've had to deal with complicated times for a long time already. So may we remember our brothers and sisters also in China as they dance and sing praise and proclaim God's name. And yes, they do face disappointment and sadness and grief and have cried tears, but they are also seeking to be followers of Jesus in complicated times.
So let's read this verse together. Let's have the next slide. Let's read this together. Come and see, I'm doing a new thing.
Amen.
Amen.